Hello, and welcome back to the Drinking Liberally podcast, the show that combines good alcohol with some mostly friendly political banter. I'm Kevin Wilson, and I am joined by my co-host, Jeff Fenner.
How's everyone doing?
Jeff, it's been another long week of news with some, frankly, shocking developments across the country. We'll get to those in just a minute, but before we do, are you ready for some brew news?
Yes, I'm in.
Awesome. Let's jump into what we're drinking this week. And that is the Wambulance, courtesy of Three Threes Brewing Company out of Hammonton, New Jersey. So another local brew for us here. It's an American Pale Ale. It's about 5% alcohol by volume. Very hazy pour. A lot of mango and peach taste to this. Next to no carbonation, though, so it's very refreshing.
No carbonation.
Yeah, really smooth drink here. Perfect for a hot summer day like today.
Yeah, if you're like out mowing your lawn at like noon, this would be a great beer to pour.
Absolutely. I might give that a try on my non-existent lawn.
You should just start mowing it for your community. That'd be great.
Yeah, just go around so I can drink this. You mow lawns as a kid?
I did. I had a company.
A whole company, huh?
Yeah, when I was a junior, we got kids to, you know, the eighth graders to push the lawnmower. Charging $25 a lawn, we pay them $15 and make
nice.
$10.
Nice. That's amazing. What a little entrepreneur.
It's perfect. This is really hazy, though.
Yeah.
That's a good description.
Man, I love how capitalism just runs in your blood there.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, so this beer, the Wambulance, I love the artwork on here. It's got an ambulance that says up on top, the phone number to call them is 1-800-BOO-HOO, with a big crying emoji face painted on the side of it. We'll post a picture of that at our Instagram. And from the brewery's own website, their tagline for this beer says, "Sick and tired of all the negativity and complaining? Call 1-800-BOO-HOO and send the Wambulance." Which I like, and some could argue that it's perfect for a podcast like this, where we do a lot of complaining about the world at large.
Yep.
And politics in general. So speaking of complaining, let's jump into our first topic.
Oh.
I'm going to complain about how absurd that this occurrence happened.
You know what's crazy about that? You could go like 65 different ways
with
that.
You have no idea what I'm about to throw at you. Yeah. So many ridiculous things have happened, but number one, the most astounding one, is that billionaire pedophile Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in his cell this past weekend of an apparent suicide.
Coward.
Yeah. We talked about this guy probably 2 weeks ago on the pod and just what a monster he is. Had gotten off easy in Miami years ago, and we can thank one of Trump's own Secretary of Labor over there for helping him get away with just sickening acts of pedophilia and managing essentially a child sex ring.
Yeah, so, sweetheart deal isn't enough of a term for that. It was a get out of jail free card, basically.
Yeah, so check out two episodes ago if you need more of a background on his history, because it's too gross for me to continue to get into more of it right
Disgusting.
Now. But this guy has dirt on so many powerful people, and the FBI raided his apartment, his like mansion in New York City. There was a safe filled with people's names and on CDs and ages of girls. And there's a lot more to come and a lot of big profile names that have been tied to him. And this is the guy who could name names and corroborate it in court. And now he's dead. This guy, who I'd argue should have been under 24-hour surveillance with someone just always eyes on this man, especially after he had tried to commit suicide a few weeks ago.
Right.
People should have been watching him like a hawk. This is the most important prisoner they've had in a long time.
Yeah.
And they gave him the time to kill himself.
Yeah, they actually, from the reports, I don't know if this got refuted, but they took him off suicide watch.
That's what I heard, which is just astounding.
From the, allegedly, the request from his attorneys. Ugh. Which, why are we giving him any kind of...
Right. He should not have no special treatment at this point.
You don't get to ask for anything, sir.
So according to a New York Times report, the two guards responsible for him fell asleep overnight and then tried to cover their tracks afterwards by falsifying paperwork to say that they were checking in on him. And this was just a horrible accident. Now, I know there's conspiracy theories flying out everywhere that, you know, somebody killed him or the guards got paid off to let him kill himself, etc. But sometimes, honestly, just the truth is
he wanted the easy way out.
Yeah.
It's odd.
Yeah.
There's some fishiness here.
This story, and now that he's dead, well, we're never going to know the truth about this.
Never.
Ever. So this is going to be like a new JFK conspiracy. People are on both sides. This is one of those few both sides issues we can actually talk about sincerely. I see both left and right wing conspiracies about
pointing fingers at each other.
Yeah, pointing fingers across the aisle. Look, guys, I know it's kind of, it's comforting to think about conspiracy theories because then it sounds like there's order to the world instead of it just being like random chaos.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's how things shake out. There's not a reason for it, and we end up in shitty situations without closure. Like, we're going to end up with Jeffrey Epstein here.
I think he just killed himself. I think he's a coward, and he knew he was going to have to face his accusers in court, and he was going to have to name some names, and I don't think he wanted to go through that, and he took the easy way out.
Yeah, and I think narcissists like him who have gotten away with horrific crimes their whole life, I think he finally saw the writing on the wall, and that can be probably tough for someone with an ego as big as his to handle.
And this falls squarely on the Department of Justice.
Absolutely. Which is headed by who?
Our favorite person, Mr. William Barr.
Yes.
He just can't seem to get a lot right.
No. And then William Barr, man, he's actually fanning the flames of conspiracy theories by saying that it was a little fishy and that it warrants an investigation. I was like, yes, I agree, it warrants an investigation.
Into you.
But
yeah, your Department of Justice.
Yeah. Every news story that's covering this and talking about what a failure of the criminal justice system it is should mention that he was under William Barr's purview.
Yep.
He should be a part of every one of those discussions. It's his department. The buck stops with him.
You know, it's a shame we are taking the higher road here, not to go down the conspiracy theories, because one, I think neither one of us really buy into a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But our own president did not take that high road.
No.
He came right out, retweeted a great conspiracy theory on this, and it's unbelievable that our nice podcast here has more morals and
credibility than our president of the United States. Donald Trump decided to go out and retweet someone who believes that the Clintons were responsible for
Hillary walked right in and just broke his neck.
I guess so. So powerful, which makes me wonder, why isn't she president if she's that powerful?
It's crazy.
The Clintons have all this power to kill anyone that stands in their way.
I never saw her as a ninja either.
Me neither. I'd watch that movie, though.
That was a good movie.
I saw on Twitter someone commented, like, wow, if Hillary Clinton or Bill, like just the family in general, had all this power, why is Anthony Weiner still alive?
Right. Like,
why is Monica Lewinsky alive? Why are these people out there?
Yeah. And I think it bears to be said that if Bill Clinton was involved in this, he should be in prison too. I mean, this is not a left.
And by
right
this,
thing.
You don't mean the murder of Jeffrey Epstein. You mean that being a part of the sex ring.
Correct. That too, though. I mean, of course. but we don't believe that. But you know, if there's ties to anybody, it should be investigated fully. And it's a shame that he didn't have to come and face his accusers and get the information out there. Not a shock that this happened, though.
Yeah. And I mean, there's no guarantee he would have said anything. He might have just sat down, pled the fifth the entire time, which is entirely possible. But yeah, it sucks that the victims won't get that moment of closure to face him in a court.
And I actually do think he would have talked. It's all speculation. But as you said, he's a narcissist. And you back him into a corner, and they're trying to look for a little way out. Sometimes you get him to sing a little bit. And it's like I said, it's a shame for the victims. They should have had their day in court. They should have had their chance to see this man, you know, put to justice for the crimes he did. And it'll never happen now. I'm not super aware of what goes forward now. So what happens now to this case?
Yeah, so it essentially kills the criminal case against Jeffrey Epstein. There's no one to prosecute anymore. That said, there are people in his circle that they could possibly track down and charge with criminal counts. It does not stop these civil cases against him. They can go after his estate for monetary damages and, you know, sell off his properties and the multiple islands and such that he owns.
Right.
So the victims can get some kind of compensation out of all of this, but
we can't move forward at all criminally.
No, because there's no one there to put in jail. So that case is dead in the water.
Convenient.
Yeah, very, right? So I'd recommend everyone go and read in the New York Times. James Stewart wrote a piece discussing an interview he did with Epstein a little over a year ago. He spent about 90 minutes with him. Epstein kind of gave him a tour, really showed off all the photos of famous people that he has all over his mansion. People like Bill Clinton.
Was that weird Clinton picture I saw real?
I don't know which one you're
There was one like
to.
Bill Clinton in a dress. I don't know if it was. I didn't.
To each their own. You do
like,
you.
It was like painted. It was really weird.
But you had photos of like Woody Allen, MBS from Saudi Arabia.
Weird.
Who Epstein apparently tells the journalist Stewart that MBS was a frequent visitor. So lots of shady people coming out to visit Jeffrey Epstein.
Kind of odd how some of that all ties together, huh?
Yeah, right? These same names keep popping up every time something illegal or shady is happening.
Yeah, and you can really see, though, where people would draw the conspiracy stuff when you just start putting all this together. You'd be like, huh.
Yeah.
So all these people hung in the same circle, were turning blind eyes to certain people in that circle. Very odd.
So going forward, I really think they have to go after, you know, essentially his partner in crime, Ghislain Maxwell. And yeah, don't come at me with proper pronunciations of her name. I don't care. She's a piece of shit. It doesn't bother me. But she has been in multiple lawsuits named as the person who, like, facilitated bringing girls to a lot of these powerful people. So she was working hand in hand with Epstein. And up until today, we're recording this on Thursday, people didn't know where she was. But apparently she was tracked down by some tabloids. And she's living in a mansion in Boston.
Oh,
go figure.
Great.
So you know what, authorities? Keep an eye on this woman. Make sure she doesn't leave the country. And if you have anything tying her directly to it, bring charges against her, please.
So now that he's not able to stand trial, the evidence they got, that can only come out now in the civil?
Could
they release it just saying this is the stuff we found? I mean,
I'm sure they curious. I mean, they could just release it if they wanted to.
That won't happen.
Yeah, it won't, no. So that's the world we're in right now, where Jeffrey Epstein is dead, and I'm sure a lot of powerful people are breathing a sigh of relief at the moment.
Very big.
Really, really depressing news.
Back to their regular schedule programs.
Ugh. Gross. I don't even want to know what those programs are.
It's sad.
So let's move on to, let's take the Drinking Liberally podcast global. We don't talk a lot about international news. It's mostly just domestic here. But there's one topic that's been going on for, man, a few months, and we haven't touched on it at all, so I want to bring it up today. And that's what's happening over in Hong Kong. So if you're not familiar with what's going on, there's been major civil unrest over there over probably close to 3 months at this point. Millions of people have taken to the streets to protest Chinese government crackdowns on their freedoms. So these protesters are demanding that they have a full democracy and also police accountability. So the police have been getting away with murder over there. So just a little background for those of you who aren't familiar with the geopolitical situation in Hong Kong. Hong Kong was a colony of the United Kingdom for 150-ish years. And then the UK actually turned this back over to China in 1997. I remember that happening when I was young. I remember that being a big thing in the news. And I was like, they could just do that?
You're like, one day I'm going to talk about this on a podcast.
And so while Hong Kong technically belongs to China, it still has tons of cultural and political ties to the UK.
Right.
As a part of being their colony, you know? And some of those ties include, you know, freedoms that the British culture allowed them that the Chinese government does not want to allow. Things like freedom of the press and freedom of speech currently allowed in Hong Kong. Chinese government, as you might be aware, really cracks down and censors both of those things.
Yeah.
So all these rights are enshrined in Hong Kong's version of their constitution, which is called Basic Law. And according to Basic Law, they're supposed to have those rights safeguarded for 50 years after Britain turned over their colony. And China agreed to this. China is supposed to respect this for, you know, 50 years. But that's not really happening anymore. China's trying to exert their influence. Protesters are pissed. And they're taken to the street, and, you know, more power to these people. They shut down the airport, the international airport, earlier this week, which I think is a really smart move because, you know, hit them where it hurts.
Yep.
You know, take that economic stance, really block tourism to the area.
Yeah.
And I think it worked, except for the fact that now China's really cracking down, and you have cops that are not afraid to bust some heads open to get these people out of the airport and around, away from, you know, public squares. So there are real fears now that China's going to use extreme force and that this is going to escalate on these protesters. China's calling these people violent mobs, criminals, and terrorists, and using all that kind of dehumanization language that we see sometimes here in America that are used to justify treating people as less than human. And we there's this, real worries that this is going to be like another Tiananmen Square situation.
We know where this story goes, yeah. Unfortunately. Trump has a solution, though. I don't know if you saw.
Oh, no. Does he?
Yeah. Trump tweeted out today, I believe, if Chinese president would just meet with the protesters, he could bring this to a resolution quickly.
Oh, really? So he's going to just meet with the millions of protesters and hear them out, and they're all just going
to
sing
kumbaya. He said the president with a personal meeting could bring a speedy end to the Hong Kong problem.
And that's just Donald Trump, again, inserting himself into any kind of situation. Like, this is what I would do, and it would work because he's so confident in himself without realizing how precarious this situation really is.
Yeah, and I remember Trump flying into New York and meeting with the protesters that shut down the West Side Highway last week. You remember that?
That totally happened.
He
right?
got there with him, shook some hands, said, we're going to work this out. This guy loves to give advice that he would never take himself. It's incredible.
Donald Trump won't go to other countries when protests are organized. Like he was upset about going to London because he heard there were protests, and they would take long ways around so he didn't have to see the protesters. So I don't really take any advice he has, well, in general, seriously.
Yeah.
But especially when it comes to dealing with protesters, that's not his forte.
This is a really scary thing and this is a big kind of moment here for Constitution, for, you know, rights. This is going
to
be...
Yeah, and it really makes me wish we had a real president that
could handle this situation. Yeah, this is the time we need somebody to help international affairs here, and I have no faith.
Yeah, Trump's either going to do nothing or he's going to make it worse.
Yeah, well, this tweeting is making it worse, I would suspect.
Yeah, he's sending a signal to China every time he tweets like that he's got China's back, not Hong Kong's.
Yeah.
And we should be standing up for the people of Hong Kong.
And it's not shocking that he's backing somebody going against democracy, right? Because obviously he's not a huge fan of that political idea.
At least over in Britain, one of their MPs is considering granting full citizenship to all people of Hong Kong to the United Kingdom. So they'd have some option to...
Nice.
Yeah, they get some dual citizenship there.
But they shouldn't have to leave their home.
Because I agree.
They want what that's their right. Yeah. Hasn't been 50 years, so.
I agree, but I guess in a worst case scenario, it'd be nice to have that option to
they get have somewhere out. To go.
More to come on that, I'm sure. That unfolds daily, and probably by the time this drops, we'll have even more updates about what's been going on over there. But keep an eye on this. This is very important, and it kind of gets lost in the what did Trump do today news cycle that we have in the United States. But this is huge. And it's going to have just repercussions around the globe.
Do you think his posturing has anything to do with, where we're at with China in the negotiations? Him kind of backing them against Hong Kong? Do you think there's any tie in there?
I don't think he's smart enough to leverage politically that smart. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So speaking of China and the trade war, let's jump into that little update. And just to remind everyone about this little trade war we have going on with China, I want to remind you that every tariff that Trump puts on these goods is a tax on United States consumers.
Period.
Just plain and simple. We're the ones paying the price for it.
There's no
not
spin
China.
Here. There's no other facts.
It's
this is
straight
it.
Economics that if we are taxing China more, they're going to raise the prices for us to buy things. That's what's been happening with farmers who are now getting subsidized by the federal government. Which is funny because a lot of those farms are in red states and places that really hate welfare. And that's what this is. It's a form of welfare.
Isn't it also kind of, what's that word, socialism?
Socialist? Yeah. Ah. Yeah. Funny you should mention that. And yeah, these areas that are so anti-socialist and anti-welfare, or to use their phrase, a government handouts, are getting subsidized by the federal government to offset the damage Trump has done with this self-inflicted wound of imposing these tariffs. And now China's taxing things like soybeans and just, or flat out not buying them from us anymore.
They just stopped.
Buying them from Brazil.
They stopped.
And that's hurting Americans. So it's wild because even Trump, on some level, I think understands this because of something he said earlier this week. He was talking about putting even more tariffs on Chinese goods, in particular electronics.
Above the jump he already talked about from 25 to 35%.
Higher. Right. Exactly. Okay. Higher tariffs, more items, in particular electronics, and decided to delay those tariffs because he said he wanted to limit the impact it had on holiday shopping in America. So let's unpack this for a second, Donnie. if it's not affecting American consumers,
why would it matter?
Why do we have to delay these tariffs? What impact would it have on holiday shopping?
We're just not. Maybe he thought China's not willing to play ball, that American citizens would not want to just buy those from that country.
That's generous.
I'm trying to shoot him some bail.
Yeah, that's super generous.
Now, he basically just called himself out and said Americans are paying for this.
Yeah.
Great.
So that's Donald Trump actually stumbling upon a kernel of truth there.
And back to the farmer thing. Without even knowing. Even if you wanted to look at this in a good light, and you said, wow, good thing they're bailing out these farmers. Obviously very, very important to our economy and particularly the Midwest, right? They can't even do that right because it's shown in all these reports that most of those bailouts or handout money are going to big corporations. They're not going to like the farmer in Iowa that has his, you know, dairy farm for the most part. They can't even get that part right when they're trying to help people out.
Yeah, it sucks because you don't want to see American workers hurt by this. And they're the ones that are being hurt the most, and American consumers. All because Donald Trump's got a fragile ego.
Kind of a theme of this administration.
Yeah, it's very on brand. So moving on to our next topic, which is going to be our fake news of the week. Speaking of people who don't understand America.
I was kind of out of the loop this week a little bit with work stuff. Did you have a hard time coming up with fake news this week? Was there?
No.
Was there a lot of options?
There was so much going on. But this one, I just want to point out because it's egregious and comes from our acting director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, Kenneth Cuccinelli. So the other day, he just decides to bring up, out of the blue, he wasn't even asked about this. He references Emma Lazarus's poem, the one from, you know, the Statue of Liberty, the "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." References that poem and shakes it up a bit, puts a little Trumpian spin on it, and says, "Give me your tired and your poor who can stand on their own two feet," which is so antithetical to what the original poem is and what the Statue of Liberty stands for and what this country stands for.
Oh my God.
That it's so embarrassing that this guy is the director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration.
If Trump gets reelected, I could see that being added to the Statue of Liberty.
I mean, it might as well be their motto because that's what they talk about all the time. That's what Trump ran on. He doesn't want these immigrants who we're paying social services to. He wants them to be the best people.
And the follow-up with this is they're making it harder for people to get green cards, right? They're really cracking down on it. And, you know, I've talked about it before. We talked about it last week. My wife is from Mexico. She works here. She pays taxes, more taxes than Amazon paid, Donald Trump paid.
Probably more than Trump, yep.
And it's just disgusting because these attacks are not on people that are living off the system. They're just not. And we know this for a fact. You know, the billions of dollars paid in taxes, the illegal immigrants that don't get refunds. It's a rallying cry for the white supremacy, the anti-immigration. It's disgusting. Fake news isn't like a strong enough thing here.
Again, I said this is egregious, and I know there's some people I've talked to, like, oh, well, big deal. This is the kind of rhetoric they've been spouting for a while. But yeah, that's the point. That's why we've been calling this out every week for the last, you know, 6 months on this podcast, and why, sorry, friends and family, I've been talking your ears off about all of this since Trump got elected. It's because they're trying to normalize this type of thinking. And I thought this was just a perfect example to put these two into contrast with each other. His reading of what he thinks America is versus the Lazarus poem, which I think is the most perfect example of what America should strive to be.
You know, we haven't always done this right, and we've said on this podcast a million times, we haven't figured out the immigration thing. It's not a black and white issue. It's not cut and dry. And obviously, it's not an easy thing to do because we've been working on this for as long as I can remember. You know, he tried to close the borders. He tried to stop the immigration. He's just coming up with new, more cruel ways to get where he wanted to be originally. That's it. Yeah.
It's just fake news out there, Ken. Like, I just can't stand hypocrites like him who paint themselves as the most patriotic of Americans. And then Trump does the same thing. talks about how much he loves America. You see him all these pictures of him hugging flags and
keep America
just being
great.
Creepy.
Make it yeah. great again.
Yet they love America so, so much, but they have all these issues with the founding principles of this country.
Except for the Constitution and number two.
I was literally just about to say that, yeah. And, until it comes to gun rights. And then of course, it's a we got strict...
We got it right from the beginning. Yeah,
strict, literal reading of the Constitution.
Yeah. We screwed up everything else, yeah. but we got that one right.
There's wiggle room in every other amendment except number two, apparently, yeah. with some of these people. I just can't stand the hypocrisy. And again, very on brand for this administration.
Where do you think that goes? I will say that I think like the ACLU has been really good at knocking these things down as quick as they come up. Mm-hmm. And we talked about like the Muslim ban and the other things that have been tried by this administration that have not worked. Do you think, you know, this new green card thing is going to...
I think as a call to action, go donate to the ACLU if this kind of stuff disgusts you. Especially the green card issue is making it harder for people to even immigrate legally now,
yeah,
which has always
border,
been the end game.
Just here. Yep. Yeah.
Like Stephen Miller made it very clear that he just wants to cut down immigration in general, even legal.
Period.
Yeah. Because Stephen Miller is a white supremacist and has been since his high school days.
Not allegedly.
Yeah. Go look up the videos.
Yeah.
Yes. Donate to the ACLU and let them fight the good fight. Support them any way you can because
they've
tend
done
to be
a great
on top
job.
Of it.
Yeah, they've done a great job.
And I don't know what really we'd do without their support in the legal system and their expertise in these kind of matters.
They've really got, they're one thing we have going for us because obviously we can't get stuff done in the House. Yeah. Senate shoots down everything. So the judges
you
are
gotta
now.
Fight it in the courts.
Yeah, have all been put in place by Trump. So
yeah, that's the worrisome thing.
Yep.
All right. So that wraps up our fake news over there from Kenneth Cuccinelli.
And bad guy. Bad guy, Ken.
Yeah. Just another real bright spot.
Real winner.
Over there in the Trump orbit. And that's going to bring us to our rapid fire things to keep an eye on.
This next topic is terrifying.
This next one could have actually been our fake news of the week as well, just because of how it's been playing out in the media. I just want to touch on quickly the explosion that happened over in Russia this past week. If you haven't seen this, heard about it, there was some explosion that was picked up on satellites and some media outlets locally that Russia originally said were from military drills. And it seems to be coming out leaking that this explosion was caused by a nuclear-powered missile test that went wrong. So a nearby village was supposed to be evacuated. They actually canceled that evacuation since. And radiation levels in the area spiked to about 16 times the normal amount.
Fun.
Yeah. They did. It was short-lived. It was a short spike. Not that any spike is great.
Yeah, no.
But those levels were high for about 2 hours, but you could still feel it about 20 miles out from where this happened.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was out there. Scientists think that level of exposure isn't enough to really cause health issues because it was such a short period of time and kind of dispersed over a large area, but still worrisome and made more so by the fact that Russia's been so secretive about it. I can't help but draw the parallels to Chernobyl, especially after the HBO series launched earlier this year.
Yep.
And watching that and just watching how Russia denied until they couldn't deny it anymore. And it became world news and every government knew about it and was demanding accountability. This feels so much like that, where they don't want to say what they're really doing. And now the information's coming out and Putin had to admit that, yeah, we were testing a missile. And to top it off, I mentioned this is a nuclear-powered missile. Different from what a nuclear missile is. So this isn't necessarily a bomb.
Right.
It could be. But this is saying that it's actually the power of flight is nuclear-powered on this.
Fantastic.
Which is horrifying to think about. Putin's actually talked at length about how he wants to develop these and has hinted that they already have it, whether that's true or not. I mean, they have prototypes clearly here. A nuclear-powered missile would be able to, you know, fly faster, farther, and according to Putin, evade missile detection systems and missile defense systems.
Fantastic.
So this is the next step in the nuclear arms race that I'm sure is going to spark again. Because, once again, Donald Trump removed us from a treaty with Russia to reduce nuclear arms. Not saying Russia would abide by it, but no reason for us to have removed ourselves from that treaty.
No. And I mean, at least, you know, the Trump administration is definitely going to crack down on them and sanction them for this and really try to hurt them, right?
Yeah, didn't you hear all of Vladimir Putin's assets have been frozen?
Yeah, great.
So Donald Trump's in a giant block of ice right now.
That's funny.
So, yeah, don't hold your breath that there'll be any consequences for Russia testing these kinds of weapons out in the open the way they have been. And I'm sure all this goes on in secret, but Russia just got busted this time because there was an accident. I'm intrigued to see where this goes after investigations dive a little deeper.
Intrigue's a funny word.
Yeah.
Terrified?
Yeah, it's a little bit. That's a morbid curiosity.
Concerning is good. Yeah, this is concerning.
Equally as concerning, next thing on our list, is that the Labor Department announced a new rule that would exempt religion-exercising organizations from your typical workplace discrimination rules. Essentially saying, if you're religious, your company is religious, you can fire people for being gay or maybe not even believing your same beliefs. This is such a can of worms that it'll be held up in court, I'm sure. But just the idea that they propose this and want this to be a rule should give everyone pause about voting for any Republican candidate that supports this right now.
If you put the Make America Great Again hat on at any point in your life, this is exactly what they meant. Going right back to where this was, and as you've talked about before, this is still legal in states.
It is.
To fire people for this. And now they just want to make it everybody. Yeah. Go ahead and just show some little religious stuff in your organization and do what you want.
And again, when they say exempt religious organizations, they mean Christian organizations.
Of course.
Because if we saw a Islamic or Jewish organization start banning Christians, it'd be plastered on Fox News everywhere.
Yeah.
So we know what their game is, what their end game is here. And it's terrifying. But I just have to wonder, though, with these set of rules, they want people to follow the Bible. So do these rules apply to, say, like firing a 3-time divorced president?
Who cheated on his pregnant wife with a porn star?
Yeah. No. Does that count?
Nope.
No, of course not.
I don't even know what to say about this. It's just we're moving so far backward as most of our country is moving forward with this stuff and being accepting and being on the right side of history. Mm-hmm. If you support this, you're just, when we look back, you're going to be on the wrong side of history. That's
absolutely
it.
All right. So next on our list. So last week we spoke in depth about the mass shootings that have been going on across the country and the role that the message board site 8chan played in some of those shootings. We had shooters who posted manifestos there all over the world, actually. And at the end, we mentioned how their security provider dropped 8chan as a client, which then led to the site being taken down, I assume, by hackers and DDoS attacks. Well, as of today, the site is actually still down, which is fun.
Win.
Yeah, definitely a win. And the owner has said that it will continue to be down until he sits before Congress, where he's actually been called to testify.
Good.
I think he should, and I said last week, and I'm standing by it this week, that deplatforming these people is a good idea. Yes, yeah, some of them have found homes elsewhere. Some actually flocked back to 4chan, but not all of them. Right. Some went to Discord. Not all of them. It's a smaller group, and if we can keep them from all huddling together in a massive group, we kind of eliminate that bubble, hopefully reduce a little bit of the extremism going on.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of our upcoming election news. Some people are running and some causes to get behind. Here's someone we're not going to be supporting. We'll not be getting the Drinking Liberally podcast sticker of support. And that is Curt Schilling, former Major League Baseball pitcher, will be running for the Senate in Arizona. And I can't say enough about how much of an asshole this guy is.
I feel like an asshole. I rooted for this guy when he was bloody socking it and taking the Red Sox. Guy was a hero.
Yeah. And he was over in Boston and Massachusetts, the whole New England area. But this guy is a Sandy Hook and Parkland shooting hoaxer. He doesn't believe they were real. And he's been very explicit about stating that. Hasn't apologized for it. This guy's an asshole.
Yeah, that's one of his many awful takes. Yeah. Like
I could spend all day, but this is supposed to be rapid fire.
Yeah, he needs no power anywhere of any kind.
Do not vote for this guy, Arizona. Please. You're better than that.
I know he won you a World Series. I know it was great watching him and Randy Johnson, but let's just keep that memory right there. Go buy the videos. You know, it was a great run. He should not be no power here. Yeah.
In other Senate races, There's news that John Hickenlooper, who's currently running for president, he's a Democrat, is debating dropping out of the race to run for Senate in Colorado, to which I say, do it, John, please.
Yeah, I think he's to the negotiations point of this. So I think it's going to happen.
Yeah. You're better served. You're not going to be president. You're better served in the Senate. We could use you there. Please.
We need a few more run for to it. Do this. Beto,
same thing.
Go.
Run for Senate. You have the backing of the whole country.
Yep.
You can do it. And then one of my favorite politicians in recent memory, I got two pieces of news from her. Stacey Abrams has launched a voter initiative to protect voting rights. So I want to direct our listeners over to fairfight2020.org. Get involved any way you can over there. Jeff and I will be doing so. We've got a lot of respect for Stacey Abrams. And she recently mentioned how she'd be open to the role of vice president, no matter who was chosen, under a Democratic president, obviously. I think she'd be a great fit. I would love to see her in there.
Who would you want her with? Warren?
Oh, man, that's probably my dream team.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. But frankly, anyone, she'd be a great fit. Like, would you like her with Pete?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Biden.
Even,
if Biden's going to be president, please grab Stacey Abrams, please.
I think she could do a lot to even him out and, again, expand his base a little bit more to get some more voters in his corner.
He could really use her.
More than probably any of the others. Correct. I think Biden could.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But she's great with Bernie. I don't really see a bad team here with that, to be honest.
Stacey Abrams makes any team she's a part of better. So good on you, Stacey. I hope to see you there in the vice president spot in the future. Well, speaking of, we didn't get to it actually, Jeff. So you said you had a couple things to say about Joe Biden, speaking of him.
Yeah, really quick. And I know this is probably a little bit older news by the time you hear this. But, Biden has been in the news a lot for his misspeaking. He's definitely said some things that aren't the greatest, didn't come out the greatest. But the uproar over the last one when he basically was talking about, I think his point was to say, even if you're not born into a wealthy family, that doesn't mean you're any less educated or have the ability to get where you want to in life, right? And he was talking about initiatives. And when he said it, he basically said, you're no less than white kids if you're poor. Right. And he caught himself immediately and was like, or Asian kids or African American. And he tried to walk it back. But obviously, everybody grabbed that little clip. They didn't grab the next part. And if you've listened to this podcast, you know I'm not the biggest Biden fan. I don't want him to be president. Personally, I just would like us to go a little younger. And I think some of his takes and where he's going are a little nerve-wracking. But I don't think this was one of them. I think that he did misspeak. He's a little older. But I don't believe that he's a racist. And I don't believe his point was like, hey, if you're a minority, you can be just as smart as white kids, even if you don't have money. That's not where he was going. And it got blown up into that. Did you have a take on that? Did you have any feelings when you heard that?
I agree with you that I think it got kind of blown out of proportion. I think in context, you kind of knew what he meant there.
It didn't sound great.
No, definitely did not sound great. But I believe that's not what he meant. And the fact that he caught himself immediately, he knew it came out wrong. Frankly, I don't think this hurts him.
No.
I don't think any of these quote-unquote gaffes hurt him. His supporters aren't going to care about that. And I don't think a lot of the public is going to care about that.
Yeah, I mean, the one benefit for him in this is our news cycle moves every 4 seconds.
That is also true.
And so, I mean, it was a big deal for like 11 minutes. Mm-hmm. But like a little bit of older news, and there are some stuff that he said that I'm like, whoa. But this one's the one that gave me pause. I don't think he's a racist, and I don't think that's where he was going with this.
Yeah, and frankly, if voters really cared about these gaffes and people misspeaking, Donald Trump wouldn't be president.
Right.
So, unfortunately, he's lowered the bar so much, Donald Trump, that is, that none of this really even registers.
It may even, in a really unfortunate way, help.
Yeah. It's a silver lining look that makes me feel kind of gross.
It's but, gross, yeah. But there may be, those Trump-Obama voters out there, they're like, hey, okay, this guy.
Right, yeah. You just say, he makes mistakes just like us. He's an everyman, and I could see that helping him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
As gross as it feels. All right. Well, that brings us to the close of our episode. Thank you so much for listening this week. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at drinking_libpod. or check out our website, where you'll find links to the articles we mentioned in this episode at www.drinkingliberallypod.com. And of course, rate and review us on iTunes if you haven't already. It really goes a long way to helping us get into some new listeners' households. We truly appreciate everyone that's done it already.
And if you are a listener that's in the New York, New Jersey area, know of any organizations or anywhere that we can get involved or push people to get involved as we get closer to these 19 elections and what's going on, hit us up on social media. Let us know if there's anywhere that we can back or, you know, get involved ourselves to help out.
Absolutely. We would really love to get involved in anything local. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been a production of Pod Media. Cheers.